the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness be restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore. Still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, and the trumpets call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are all white in your womb. Till we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word. Trumpets call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun, at the trumpet's call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
As we celebrate the 4th of July, we do want to spend a little bit of time and talk about our country. And actually, the choir is going to do a number this morning and everything. And we live in a great country, don't we? But I'll tell you what makes our country great. We have a great God who this country was actually founded to follow. And it's a joy to be able to call myself an American, but it's a greater joy to call myself a Christian. And it's great to see you here this morning. And this morning, I would like to say thank you to all of those who served in the armed forces and helped provide the freedoms that we have. If you served in the armed forces, if you could just stand to your feet, we would like to acknowledge you this morning. Thank you for your service, because you know what, this morning we can preach Jesus Christ without any fear of reprimand, and it's because of your service, so we want to thank you for that. We have a few announcements to go through this morning, and so I'm going to try to go pretty quickly, because we have several things here. First, Brian has a couple, so Brian Cooper.
All right, I just have a couple of announcements I want to go over. This Friday, July 11th, from 10 until 5, the youth are going to have a boating activity. Matt and Anika are kind of heading that up, so if you are part of the youth and you want to go out Friday morning, afternoon, have a boating time, and I believe they're going to have a picnic or whatever, get in touch with Matt and Anika, and we'll go from there. Secondly,
they're going to leave the church or their house at 10 a.m., and their address is there in the bulletin, leaving their house at 10 a.m., all right?
All right, secondly, Souls Harbor is going to be here July 27th, Sunday, at 6 p.m. I put it out on Facebook. What I would like you to do is invite your family, your friends, your neighbors. I'd like to have a good group here Sunday night for Souls Harbor. They're going to come and minister to us in music. And so I'm just putting that out there. So that's Sunday, July 27th at 6 p.m. And then lastly, on Saturday, August 2nd, I am hosting a youth activity. It's called The Private Eye. It's for the youth. I've already gotten in touch with some of you about participating, and I'm going to set up a meeting time. I may meet with you guys individually. I don't know how I'm going to work that out. But I'm giving $25 to the teen or the youth that brings the most visitors that night. I really want to try to grow this thing, to have a good number of kids to come, because the more kids we have, the more fun the activity is. So youth, get out there, start inviting your friends, and the one that has the most will get $25 cash.
All right. Thank you, Brian. We have a servant evangelism project coming up on July 19th. There's a sign-up sheet out at the Welcome Center, and here's the idea. We're going to do a $1 car wash. Okay, $1 car wash from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And after we wash people's cars and they come through and they're ready to pay their dollar, we're going to give them a dollar. Okay, the reason we're doing this, it's servant evangelism. The goal is we want to show them that it's Jesus Christ who washes their sins away. And then we don't pay for our own sin. He pays for our sin for us. And so it's a great evangelism opportunity. Now, we have a sign-up sheet. I need 24 people that are willing to come, at least 24. If we could have 50, boy, that'll make things hum right along. We have a whole needs list in the bulletin and Welcome Center. There's a sign-up sheet. And so get on board with this. Be part of this. It's 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Saturday, July 19th. And we're going to advertise it the best we can, getting it out on the, you know, on 131. We'll have it on the sign. And I tell you what, I bet we'll be busy for 2 hours. And at the end of the line, we're going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with each one. So want to get you on board with that. After church next Sunday, we have a family fair. We have VBS this week. Are you kids excited about VBS? Yeah. Oh, you don't sound very excited. Come on, are you excited about VBS this week? Okay, not much more excitement there. Well, maybe by tomorrow night they'll be a little more awake. But we're going to have a great time with our VBS. Kids, you have a special teacher this week. Moses is coming to teach you this week, all right? So want you to get excited about that. Well, we're closing out VBS with a family fun fair after Sunday morning church next Sunday. And so you come prepared to eat lunch here at the church. We're going to have lots of fun things for the kids and for even the adults. And so that's next Sunday after the service. The 12th Street Garden Club, they're working on a perennial flower friendship garden. And if you would like to donate some perennial flowers, contact Sherry Leslie, and her number is in the bulletin there. We'd love to have you be part of that. Men, prayer breakfast is this Saturday, the 12th. At 8:30 at Old Country Buffet, and Todd, he does a great job leading that. Want to encourage you men to be part of that. There is a wedding coming up very quickly on August 9th, and it's on the farm of Dave and Cindy Dykema, and Megan, their daughter, is getting married to Casey Straka. And so what a great day that'll be, and I want to encourage If you're going to attend, please sign up at the Welcome Center, all right? They need to know how many people are attending, and they're opening it up to the church. So there will be an RSVP form at the Welcome Center as well if you'd like to call, or we will have a sign-up sheet out there. And also, one more thing. I have a card here from Cindy, and it says, "We can't express in words how grateful we are for all of you. The service and the meal were absolutely wonderful. What an honor to our father, Poppy, and husband. So many people have said to us what a wonderful church family we have. Many lives were touched that special day. It took the sacrifice of many of you to make that happen. We appreciate all of your giving of your time and talents for our family, Cindy Straka and family." And so we want to reiterate again, thank you for all that you helped out there. Well, let's go to the Lord together this morning in prayer. Father, we meet here this morning as an expectant people. Lord, I expect this week that you are going to do great things at the Vacation Bible School, that lives will be changed, souls will be saved, and that you will do a phenomenal work in these young people's hearts and lives. But Lord, I also expect this morning that each one of us will hear clearly from you, that we'll understand your word, and Lord, as we hear it, that we will be challenged. Lord, this morning we do not want to leave this place as getters, as those who only look at what can I get. But Lord, I pray that we would leave here this morning having a mind and a heart that is more ready to say, what can I give? And so, Father, I just pray that your spirit would be powerful in our lives. And I pray, Jesus Christ, that you will be magnified in special ways in each one of our hearts and lives as we go to you in communion. And so today is your day. Be pleased by it, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
Let's go ahead and make our way back to our seats, and at this time we're going to ask the ushers to come forward. And let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us the opportunity to be able to just come together and worship you. Please be with this offering. Please be with every gift in each giver. And this we ask in your name. Amen.
We gather together today to celebrate our homeland, America. We are a nation of native cultures and immigrants from all corners of the earth. What we share is this land of unbounded beauty and resources, a land where the dream of liberty became a living reality. It was the commitment of a brave group of men and women willing to pursue freedom and justice, to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor that brought such a diverse people to form a nation. The sovereign states in America became the United States of America. And our homeland reached across an entire continent. These are the states in the order and year they entered the Union. Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, 1787. Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, 1788, North Carolina, 1789, Rhode Island, 1790, Vermont, 1791, Kentucky, 1792, Tennessee, 1796, Ohio, 1803, Louisiana, 1812, Indiana, 1816, Mississippi, 1817, Illinois, 1818, Alabama, 1819, Maine, 1820, Missouri, 1821, Arkansas, 1836, Michigan, 1837, Florida, Texas, 1845, Iowa, 1846, Wisconsin, 1848, California, 1850, Minnesota, 1858, Oregon, 1859, Kansas, 1861, West Virginia, 1863, Nevada, 1864, Nebraska, 1867, Colorado, 1876, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Washington, 1889, Idaho, Wyoming, 1890, Utah, 1896, Oklahoma, 1907, New Mexico, Arizona, 1912, Alaska, and Hawaii, 1959. Several centuries ago, a nation dedicated to the principles that guided our founders was merely a dream. However, it was a dream whose time had come. It was the destiny of the human spirit to one day arrive at the conclusion that all of us are created equal, and that certain truths are indeed self-evident, that all mankind is endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Once that truth took root in the hearts and minds of freedom's pioneers, the world was on the threshold of a mighty wind of change. Once the bell of liberty sounded, it could never be silenced. For those who were willing to make the journey, to leave behind friends and family, and all that was familiar, to give whatever was required, a new beginning and a new world awaited them. For those who were brave enough to be free, a new life had begun. They had found a place where liberty and justice for all was not a cliche. It was a creed. They came and staked their claim. They came knowing that freedom does not come without great cost. They came making this nation their own, living with the brave and the free, living in the homeland.
Would you stand with us, please?
Whoa.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
It's because of the wonderful cross that there is power in the blood.
Bids me come.
wonderful cross. Because of Jesus coming down to this earth, going to that wonderful cross to pay for the sins of all humanity. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him."
Righteousness. He humbled himself and he carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. So amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Messiah, Lord of all.
Lord, for sending your son Jesus to come to this earth to be our Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for when we could not save ourselves, you came to us and saved us. Please be with Pastor Thad as he comes to present the word you've laid upon his heart. Be with us as we take up communion, Lord. Help us to just open our hearts and open my minds to you. This we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank the choir for that number this morning, and then thank the worship team for drawing us back into a focus of Jesus Christ. And as we go to communion, I'd like to invite the deacons to come forward to distribute it. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53, and I haven't retranslated it, but I've paraphrased it in a way so that this is not a translation. This is a paraphrase. But hopefully as I read this, you understand what is being talked about. And if you don't understand what I read and what I say now, then it means that you haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ. And communion is for those who have trusted Jesus Christ. There's no way to commune with God or to commune with each other if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're walking in disobedience from God, there is no way for you to commune with God or commune with your fellow Christians while you're in that disobedience. You need to have your heart and life right with the Lord Jesus. And so as I read this, I hope that the Lord just speaks to your heart. Jesus is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And it's like we hid from him. He was despised, and we did not care for him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we caused him to be stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The severe reprimand necessary for our peace was put upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the sins of all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was taken from prison into judgment, and no one stood up for him. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression, our transgressions, he was overwhelmed to the point of giving up his life. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And he had never done anything wrong. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God placed deep sadness on Jesus when the Father made the Son's soul an offering for sin. Jesus will see those who are saved by his work. God will look back on Jesus' sufferings and will be satisfied. God knew his Son would make many shattered lives right by taking on himself all their sins. We go to communion because we remember that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed for us. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this morning, instead of taking these elements, they won't do anything for you. Instead, while they're being passed out, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. And here's what our Lord will do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus, we commit this time to you. Clayton, would you ask a blessing on the bread?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful we can be in your house today, especially with this Independence Day family, for the great sacrifice that many have made for our great country, Father. But the greatest sacrifice is your Son dying on that cross for us, and the breaking of his body, allowing us to be put upon so that we might have opportunity to be with him in heaven. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen.
remember the first time I did a communion without music playing in the background. Afterwards, somebody came to me and said, I didn't like that. It was scary. It was eerie. And I said, well, why was it eerie? They said, because I had to hear my thoughts. And you know, that's a good thing, because sometimes that's how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Sometimes that's how he tells us what he wants from us. And so, after examining ourselves in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, let every man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so if you have been able to confess your sin to the Lord and say, you know, Lord, I'm good. There's nothing between me and my Savior. Then Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body. This do in remembrance of me. And after they took the bread, they took the cup. And I'd like to ask Brian to ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have this opportunity in remembrance. Father, that we have a time that we can examine ourselves. We can make ourselves right with you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the sacrifice that you give. Your blood that was poured out for our sins, Lord. And we know that we cannot have a relationship with you if it wasn't for your precious blood. Father, we just ask that you would just bless this time now.
After they took the bread, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And in the scripture, they sang a hymn and went out, but we're just going to send the children out at this time. So all the children are dismissed to children's church. And as they're heading to children's church, let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts Chapter 20, Acts 20. A banker just bought a Ferrari GTO, and he was so excited because he could go 320 miles an hour in his Ferrari. And he pulled up at a stoplight, and an old man on a moped came up right next to him. And this man was in his early 90s. And he looked over at the banker's car, and he said, that's a pretty nice little ride you have there. And the man started to explain all the bells and whistles and how fast it could go. And the gentleman on the moped said, well, could I just look inside for a second? So he leaned over, and he looked inside. He said, wow, that's a fancy car. And he said, but I'll keep my moped. This really bothered the banker. So the banker thought, when the light turns green, I'm going to show him what's what. So when the light turned green, he took off. He floored it. He went from 0 to 120 in about 22 seconds. And he looked, and that little yellow moped came up fast in his rearview mirror and passed him. Well, this enraged the banker. So he stepped on it a little bit more. He got up to 250 miles an hour, and he passed the moped, and he thought, that'll show him. A couple seconds later, here comes the moped, whizzing right by him. So the man said, all right, that's it. He put it all the way to the floor. 320 miles an hour. He was just cruising. And he thought, that'll show him. He looks in his rearview mirror, and here comes this yellow moped. And it slams into the back of his Ferrari. He hits the brakes. He jumps out. First of all, are you okay? And the old timer says, yeah, I'm all right. And he says, I am so, what happened? And the man said, well, could you unhook my suspenders from your rearview mirror, please? In Acts chapter 20, Paul is finishing up his third missionary journey. And in this third missionary journey, he's traveled many miles. He's gone further into Asia than he had gone in any of the previous missionary journeys. And as Paul begins to wrap it up, he expresses his desire. And look at with me in verse 16, Acts chapter 20, verse 16. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. He had already been there. He was in a hurry. If it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he was in a hurry to get back to Jerusalem so that he could celebrate Pentecost with the church at Jerusalem. So they sail and they get to Ephesus, and he calls together the elders of the church. Now, in Ephesus, a vibrant church has started. And Ephesus is kind of his gateway church to Asia. And by speaking to the elders there in Ephesus, the word that he speaks here will be passed on to the rest of the pastors in Asia and really into the Gentile world where he had been preaching. And so let's look at what Paul says here in verse 18. When they were come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks." Now this is his message. This is it. Singular message that he preached. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul could sum up every message he ever preached, this is the way he chose to do it. Faith or repentance toward God. What's repentance? It's turning from my way to God's way. It's a 180-degree reversal of life. And then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 22, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He says, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I get to Jerusalem, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, and he's the apostle that was meant to be in bonds and afflictions. He was the apostle that was meant to be beaten for the sake of Jesus Christ. Why? He beat the church. He had killed the church. So he kind of knew that this was his lot. So in verse 26, he says, verse 25, he says, "I'm not going to see you anymore. This is the last time I'm going to preach to you. I won't see you anymore." In verse 26, "Wherefore I take to you record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men." Wow, what a statement. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was each one of our testimony? That we were pure from the blood of all men. What does that mean? That everyone that you have encountered and had a legitimate discussion with, you shared Christ. Paul was a tent maker. He could have talked about tents. But what did he talk about? Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. So he says, "I'm pure from the blood of all men." And he also says in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, I'm verse 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So he says, I didn't share the simplicity of the gospel. I taught you deeper things. He discipled them. 12th Street, we have to disciple. It's not enough to just say Jesus loves you. We have to teach people the full counsel of God. That's his goodbye message. In verse 32, he says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." He says, I didn't want your stuff. "You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." See, his message was repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. His method was, I'm going to give because it's more blessed to give than to receive. See, I think there's only really two types of people in the church. There are givers and there are getters. And the question is, are you a giver or are you a getter? After he shares what Jesus said, he knelt down and prayed with them. They cried because they knew that this was the last time that they would see him. I want to tell you that Paul's message here, he's encouraging them to be givers. Givers of the gospel. Givers toward those who labor in the faith. Givers of themselves toward the work. There's more joy, accomplishment, peace, and fulfillment in giving than getting. Each one of us needs to ask ourselves a very important question. Am I a giver or am I a getter? Getters need to have others serve them. They take more than they contribute. They ask for more than they provide. Getters are not looking to serve. Rather, they are looking to be served. The question on their mind is, what is the church going to do to serve me and my family? Getters are never satisfied because they lack the one essential element that will fulfill and make them blessed. They haven't figured out how to give. Getters give when it suits them, but they haven't experienced the blessing of giving till it hurts. I can honestly say Paul knew what it was like to give until it hurt. Now, givers don't always have money to give, but they give anyway. Givers are always looking for needs so that they may help. Givers do not create problems for others. However, others always seem to have an interest in helping the giver with their problems. Givers are selfless in their pursuits within the body. They look for ways to enhance those around them, not how others can make them better. Givers are not easily discouraged because they are not fulfilled by what is done for them. They are in control of their feelings because they are driven by their own contributions. Getters take, givers relinquish. Getters don't even know what they are until God points it out. Givers don't think about what they are because they don't need the accolades. Turn with me to chapter 21 in Acts. Luke records the travels. He says, as we stayed there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard these things, both we and those that were of that place asked him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break my heart? I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Here's Paul. He's a giver. He's willing to allow himself to be arrested and killed for the sake of Jesus Christ. That is the kind of giving that we should have for our Lord. I'm just going to close with this illustration. I want you to imagine, it's a long illustration, so those of you got excited about, good, he's closing already. Yeah, you just wait. It's a long illustration. I want you to imagine that you're in a bright, white, spacious corridor with rooms that branch off from a main corridor. Each room is labeled money, pleasure, talents, popularity. You grow eager with anticipation as you realize the labels were put there so you could know your opportunities. The doors continue. College tuition, athletic success, free time. Each door is labeled with a beautiful gold-plated plaque. The writing on the plaque is exquisite, obviously written with great care and precision. After wandering the corridor, you try your hand at opening one of the doors. Physical fulfillment. It is unlocked, and your excitement grows as you open it and see that every accessory you have ever desired is in this room. As the door begins to close, you grab the handle to help it, and realize the inside is locked. You catch the door before it closes. The outside was unlocked, inviting you in, but the inside is locked, preventing your departure. You look around at everything that is available and think how much fun it would be, and there are people there too. They look like they are inviting you in, almost as if they want your company. You are fearful that you may not be able to leave because of the lock on the door, and so you re-enter the corridor. You find through trial and error that each room is the same. The outside is unlocked and inviting. The inside is locked and the contents very appealing. You enter the back edge of the corridor, and you find a door that has not been beautifully painted as the others have. The plaque was never set in gold or meticulously crafted. A hastily assembled sign on an unattractive door opened to a dark and dingy room. Before taking a good look inside, you check the name on the door, Servanthood. Cautiously, you look inside. You notice a young person lying on the floor. You hear voices coming from underneath the young, sturdy body. You can barely make out a grate covering a hole in the ground. The young person is trembling while lying on the grate. A voice from beneath the grate distinctly cries out, "Please, help! There must be people trapped under there." The young, plump body reaches its hand towards you. You become fearful and leave the room. After catching your breath, you wonder what you really could have done to help, and you attempt to reopen the door. It is locked. You feel released from any obligation to enter that room, and so you stroll down the corridor to the room labeled Talents. You try the handle and it opens. Slowly you enter the room and look around. Every skill you have ever wanted is being offered to you. Teachers, scholars, resources, coaches, and materials fill the room. You decide to enter this room bearing such a noble label. You are welcomed compassionately. The door closes behind you. Time doesn't seem real. As you soak up so many wonderful things, your knowledge and abilities grow quickly. The constant pursuit of maturing your talents is tiresome, and eventually you grow weary with this room. You ask if there is any way to depart, and the teacher nods and hands you a key. You use the key to unlock the door and go into the corridor again. The experience in that room had been incredible, and you can't wait to enter another room. Popularity! This one will be fun, you think to yourself. You try the handle, but it will not open. You try the key, but it will not work. You realize suddenly that the only room the key will work for is that nasty Servanthood room. In fury, you stride towards the door and thrust the key into the lock. The door opens, and the key vanishes. Again, you stare into the dark room. The young one lying on the grate has aged some. The voices are fewer, yet still persistent. A very distinct cry for help again resonates from beneath the grate. The healthy person again lifts a hand to you, and again you are afraid. You leave the room. What will happen now, you wonder, out loud to yourself as you meander by the door labeled Personal Party? You don't want to be totally selfish. The first door you entered was Talents. That was a noble thing to do. You decide there and then you will not enter any room for strictly selfish reasons. Popularity jumps out to you as if enticing you. If I'm popular, I can influence others, you convince yourself. Upon opening the door, you are greeted by people that are beautiful and nice. This is a dream. They are requesting your presence with them. Everything that you would need to make yourself popular is there available for you. The stay in the room is incredible. Constant attention, fun activity, and really cool people swarm you. You desire to tell someone about the room, Servanthood, to see what it is all about, but quickly realize they shy away at the mention of another room. The conversations with these people become very shallow. Eventually, unchallenged by this room, you ask to leave. A key is given to you. Again, you unlock the door and make your exit, giving hugs to the occupants of the room and saying friendly goodbyes. You know where you need to go next. You don't want to go back to the room, Servanthood. The room makes you uncomfortable. It is not very fun in that room. You know that the only way to enter any other room is to make a stop by the room of Servanthood. Upon your entrance, you quickly notice the aging, the slender person lying on the grate has gone through. The voices are much fewer in number and even greater in urgency as they cry out for help. Leaving the room becomes easier each time. The figure on the ground becomes more frightful each time. The voices grow more eerily persistent. Your conscience doesn't bother you as much after each departure. You enter many rooms, self-esteem, pleasure, amusement, career of choice, political power, uninterrupted time with family, every room beautiful, experience sweet, the need to depart evident. You are always drawn back to the room, servanthood, so that you can gain entrance into the room of your choice. I will enter one more room, you tell yourself, and then I will see what I can do in this dark room with very few voices and a very frail old individual. The room you enter is marked success, something you have always wanted to know and experience. Before closing the door behind you, there is one last twinge of guilt. In this room, you are busy, much more than any other room. You feel very empty in this room because each person is so successful, they're forced to be alone. You begin to think about the experience of each room and come to the conclusion that each room was exactly what it claimed, yet somewhat deceiving. Not one room brought you the peace that it should have. There was no feeling of accomplishment, just a desire to experience more. You ask for the key and leave, determined to find out what good may come from servanthood. You enter the dark, cold, and very quiet room. You approach the motionless, delicate, old body lying on the floor. You look down and notice that the grate could have easily been moved. Why didn't this person move the grate, you wonder? The darkness seems to engulf you. No other room made you feel uncomfortable. This one was nearly terrifying. You reach down and nudge the old person lying on the floor. No response. The body is lying face down, and you try to pull it up. No response. The body must be dead, you conclude. Who was this poor soul? Why did they not move the grate? You are enraged. This person could have helped those under the grate. Why did this person have to rely on you? It's not fair. You are not responsible. This person is responsible. For the first time in your life, you're going to see what a true failure looks like. You roll the body over and stare into the familiar face beneath the hood. Pulling back the hood, you see yourself. You had the opportunity to be a servant. To those in need, you chose not to help. You chose to explore every other door. You were not willing to expose yourself to the uncomfortable surroundings. And as you stare into your own face, you realize that it's too late. You spent your life chasing the contents of all the other rooms. In pursuit of opportunities, you missed the greatest opportunity of all. You missed out on being a servant to others. In so doing, you learned too late that the person who really needed help was you. You realize that you are a getter, not a giver. So let's start all over. Picture it with me again. You enter a corridor called life, and you're surrounded by many opportunities of many rooms on each side. Which door are you going to choose? Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul said, I would rather go into Jerusalem and lay my life down and die for the cause of Jesus. So my friend, where are you in your relationship with the Lord? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that this morning we would learn the lesson from the Apostle Paul. He set such a good example through the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, each one of us, we need to consider our lives and what do we do with our time? What do we do with our efforts? What do we do with our resources? I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to open that door of servanthood. Lord, if someone is here and they've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they cannot serve you until they become yours. And so, Lord, I pray for those who need this morning to just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Trust in the work that he did for them on the cross. Lord, you want to save them. I pray that they would allow for that work of Jesus to be placed into their heart and life, that the blood of Jesus would cleanse them from their sin. And then, Lord, for the Christian. In this world, we are too self-absorbed and too focused on what we want and not enough on what you want. Help us, Lord, to be givers. It is more blessed to give. So, Lord, I pray if any here need to just spend some time alone with you during the invitation, that they would do so. And I thank you for the song we're about to sing, which is such a great reminder that Jesus paid it all. And so it's all to him that we owe. And so, God, I pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us as we sing this invitation song? Our deacons are moving to the side aisles, and if you would like prayer with someone, maybe this morning that God has spoken to your heart, or maybe you've been going through some hard times, service to something maybe that's been hard for you to find, and you haven't been giving, you've been getting. This morning you just want to pray with somebody, they'd love to pray with you, or just come and use the front as an altar. And if you would like to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, this is why we're here, so that you could come to Christ. And I invite you to come and shake my hand and say, "Thad, I want to trust Jesus Christ." And this morning, we'll explain to you what Jesus has done for you, and you can leave a child of the King, someone who's been accepted by Jesus Christ into his family. So whatever God has spoken to your heart about this morning, please respond to him.
Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed away all my sin and all my shame. He washed it away. Died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Praise the one who paid my debt and Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
So thankful that you took all our sin. You took all of our shame. You wash us clean. You make us yours. I thank you, Lord, that we can be identified with you. Help us not be so in name only, but Lord, in service. I pray, Lord, that we would get out of this place and say, what can I do to give to my Lord Jesus Christ? What can I do to make his kingdom better? What can I do to build his church right here at 12th Street? And so, Lord God, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We have so much, Lord, to be thankful for. We are thankful for this wonderful country. We are thankful for our amazing and awesome Savior. And Lord, we just want, our hearts are full. We desire to serve you. We desire to live for you. We desire, Lord, to give. I pray that, Lord, our hearts would be filled with that now. And as we go into this week of VBS, be great, Lord. We will rejoice and give you praise for all that you do. For you are the holy God. And unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be blessing and glory and honor and dominion and power, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful week in him.